Please be seated. On behalf of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and Harold's family, I'd like to thank you for your presence here today and welcome you to our worship service. The outline for our service is in the funeral bulletin. The hymns are all in our hymnal. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. We'll follow the order of worship after our opening hymn. That's on page 278 and following. Page 278 and following. We have a worship insert as well. The readings for the day are on one side. The psalm and the sermon text are on the other. Our opening hymn, 710. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house this day, to hear your word, and to be comforted in the only comfort that truly can comfort, the perfect life, obedient death, and glorious resurrection of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus. We thank you for the gift of life for Harold. We thank you for the many wonderful things that he did and accomplished during his earthly life. We thank you for his faithfulness as a husband, father, grandfather, worker, church member. But most of all, Lord, we thank you for his humble nature, humble before the Word of God, listening to your word and to your promises, and clinging to the life, the eternal life, that only you can give. Be with us now today. Bless our hearts that your word would free and comfort and in due time even gladden with the good news that is Jesus Christ for us and for our salvation. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 710.
worship is found on page 278. Page 278, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In holy baptism, Harold was clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all his sin. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore,
with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his."
We turn to the psalm printed on your bulletin insert. We speak it together. The Lord is
my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Continue with the Kyrie, page 278. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God of grace and mercy, we give thanks for your loving kindness shown to Harold and to all your servants who, having finished their course in faith, now rest from their labors. Grant that we also may be faithful unto death and receive the crown of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
A reading from Proverbs chapter 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Grace that taught my heart
Ecclesiastes chapter 3. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
To continue with our Lenten verse, we stand for the Holy Gospel. If we have died with Christ, we shall also live with Him.
If we are faithful to the end, we shall reign with Him.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Glory to you,
O Lord.
Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
God has made us His people through our baptism into Christ. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
We continue with hymn 702. You may be seated.
members of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and Calvary Lutheran Church, family and friends, God's Word for us today, 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time for my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as the Apostle Paul penned these words, he was an old man, well past his prime, humanly speaking. He was getting things in order. He was encouraging young Pastor Timothy, who would carry on after his journey is over. I like to think of Paul as kind of an elderly man who would gather people around him and tell stories. Amazing stories. Stories that would sound almost too fantastic to be true, but every one of them true. This past Wednesday night, we celebrated the minor festival of the conversion of St. Paul. Saul of Tarsus, breathing out murderous threats against all Christians, any who would follow the way, goes to the authorities, gets letters from the authorities, so if he finds any Christians, he can see that they're put to death. But God has another plan for Saul. On the Damascus Road, blinded by the light, God comes to him. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you persecute. The rest is history. Saul, now Paul, the greatest missionary pastor in the history of the world. The one who persecuted Christians and stood by as they were stoned to death became the one who preached Christ crucified. Stoned, shipwrecked, imprisoned. The list could go on and on and on of all these great stories. All of them true. But at this point, stories are pretty much done. Now it's on to the most important thing. Jesus. 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 Paul tells Timothy, I have fought the good fight. That's really what Christianity is. Fighting the good fight. No, not fighting against each other, but against, as Luther called, the unholy Trinity. That unholy Trinity that would love to tear Christians away from the hope and the comfort that is Christ and His salvation. The devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. This is the fight, this is the battle that we are in. A battle as old as the Garden of Eden. When Satan tempted Adam and Eve to disobey the Word of God. When Satan tempted Adam and Eve with that temptation that is always before us each and every day. You can be your own God. Adam and Eve fell for the lie, as we so often do. God could have wiped them out started over, simply made them suffer, but instead He gave them a word of promise, a word of hope, a word of life. One day I will send a Savior who will crush the serpent's head and restore the relationship that has been broken. Throughout the pages of the Old Testament, God again and again and again gives that promise, each time with more details. And finally, when the time was right, when the time had fully come, God does as He always does. He keeps His Word. He sent a Savior, His Son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem us who are under the law. Jesus Christ fought the good fight. Where Adam and Eve failed, Jesus succeeded. Tempted in every way, shape, and form that we are, yet never falling, never sinning, not once. Jesus didn't have to die because He didn't sin. Remember, the wages of sin is death. But the sinless Son of God, Jesus, willingly, freely, took the sins of the world into Himself and onto Himself, all the way to an old rugged cross, bleeding and dying as our substitute. Jesus Christ, who fought our biggest enemy, death. He took it head on. Satan thought He won on that Friday we call good, when Jesus' stone cold dead body was put in the tomb. But 3 days later, Jesus, who was dead, is now alive, never to die again. Our greatest enemy defeated. Forgiveness, life, and salvation earned for us by Jesus. If someone would offer you eternal life, the fountain of youth, what would you pay? Just a few weeks ago, I saw people going crazy, not over eternal life, but over $1.5 billion. Can you imagine this gift of forgiveness, life, and salvation? Jesus gives away free? Ludicrous. Ridiculous. Too good to be true. No. Sealed by the blood of the One who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ has fought the good fight for us. He has won the good fight for us. And now, in this sin-infested world, we continue in this fight, knowing that the victory's already been won. Life's hard. Life's hard. Sin is real, and the consequences of sin are real. Harold knew about those hard consequences from the earliest of days. He couldn't help but well up in tears as he would tell stories of his early days. And house fire, and the reality of pain and suffering and loss. He couldn't help but well up first with pride and then with tears as he talked about the horrors of war, Battle of the Bulge, discussions with Patton. And then he would say, Pastor, I've already said too much. You know, those things were top secret, and I pledged I would never, ever divulge those secrets. 70 years later, the man was still faithful to that pledge and that oath. Tears couldn't help but well up. First pride, showing pictures, telling me stories, talking about family, hunting and fishing, especially with me. And then the tears as he talked about his beloved Wilma and how much it still hurt. My friends, today we come into God's house. And if you are living and breathing, if you have a pulse, you know that life is hard. It is a constant fight and a constant struggle. Do not be tempted to think that you fight that fight alone, or that somehow God has forgotten or forsaken you. The fight has already been won by the perfect life, obedient death, and glorious resurrection of Jesus. Everything Jesus is and everything Jesus does, He does for you. And now as we live life, and God wants us to live life to the full, as we live life, we live it humbly under His Word, we knowing that His words and promises are true, and numbering our days as the Apostle Paul numbered his. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. Paul couldn't tell stories anymore because he was near the end of his life. My visits with Harold changed dramatically over the last several months. The stories that I could almost tell by heart because I had heard them so many times, the stories weren't as crisp and clear anymore. Until we got to the point where stories didn't come at all. And you know, for Harold, that was okay. Because for him, the most important story was the story of how a God could love a sinner like him and send His Son to bleed and die for him and to give him forgiveness, life, and salvation. And to put the very body and blood of that Savior in his mouth to eat and drink. Harold loved to sing. Loved to sing. Toward the end, didn't have a voice to sing anymore. And he looked forward to that day. That grand and glorious family reunion. That reuniting with Wilma. Singing with the heavenly choir. He knew what awaited him. Because Jesus wore a crown of thorns on his behalf, Jesus was now giving him a crown of life. Not because of what he had done or what he had accomplished, but because of what Jesus had done and what Jesus had accomplished. You know, through the years, we've come up with lots of stories that we could tell about Harold. Our vicars had an opportunity on a regular basis to visit, to hear stories, to bring the comfort and assurance of God's Word. One of our former vicars, no offense, but Harold's favorite, now Pastor Daniel Speckhart in Godfrey, Illinois, sent me this brief note to refer to the life of Harold Mishnick as interesting would be a grave disservice to his story. I do not know if I have ever met a man whose days had been more chock full of fascinating happenings and events, the likes of which most people never experience. From his adventurous childhood to his military service in the European theater, to the many travels he undertook on account of his work, there was never any shortage to the tales and adventures that Harold could recount while we were together. The one that always sticks out in my mind, for whatever reason, is the story of crossing the snowy mountain pass in California with a young family in the car, following a trucker who had promised to lead the way. There was just something about the way that Harold recounted that event that could make you feel like you were teetering on a mountainside during a nighttime blizzard, even if in actuality you were sitting on Harold's couch and feeling the sun come in through his porch door. There were, of course, other stories. I do not think it a stretch to refer to Harold as a real-life Forrest Gump. Except that one could make the case that Harold's life was actually more interesting than that of the fictional Tom Hanks character. But it is not ultimately his stories that I will remember most about Harold. Rather, it is the way that he related those stories that made Harold so impressive. Many men who have gone through a tenth of what Harold experienced have fallen into the trap of thinking that they themselves were the doers of great things or something like that. But this never seemed to be the case with Harold, though he was happy to tell and retell his stories. He always modestly acknowledged that his Creator was the primary actor in his life, and that everything he did, good, great, or otherwise, relied upon the providence and grace of God. In other words, Harold was always keenly aware that life was something better described as happening to and around him rather than something he had made for himself. This was never more clear than in the way Harold described his family. For all of the things that he had done and seen, nothing in Harold's life meant more to him than his wife and children. It was obvious that he considered his family to be, without question, the greatest temporal gift that God had given him. And in all the time that we spent together, there was nothing Harold enjoyed discussing more. Which is why I am so grateful for the last gift that Harold ever gave me. For 11 months, Harold would often end our time together by pointing out the cross that hung above his bed. It was a cross with two rings laid over a vertical beam, something that I believe he received on his wedding day. He gave me that cross during one of our last visits, and I'm proud to say that it hangs in the bedroom that my wife and I share today. Of all of Harold's many adventures, the adventure of marriage that he undertook with his wife was clearly his favorite. And that cross continues to serve as a constant reminder to me that whatever happens to me in this life, and let's be honest, my story is not likely to rival Harold's in terms of excitement. There is nothing that I should cherish more on this earth than the gift of family. Even more importantly, that cross serves as a reminder that God's gifts are not only for this life. No, through the blood of Jesus shed on the cross, we have been given eternal life and salvation through the forgiveness of sins. Harold heard this word of forgiveness every time we were together. He tasted that body and blood of forgiveness every time one of our pastors came out. Indeed, he craved that which was given even more than I or we craved His stories. And on account of what He so received in faith, it is a great joy to know that Harold's story has not ended. It has simply continued in paradise. Just as Harold and his wife enjoyed an earthly life together, so also are they enjoying, even now, their eternal communion with God Almighty and all the saints in heaven. So even as I remember the short time I had with Harold, I know that our time together has not ended. We will see each other again, in heaven first, and then more fully when our bodies are resurrected on the last day. And I will get to meet Harold's wife, about whom I've heard so much. And I will listen to his stories, as I once did. And I will thank Harold for the cross that now hangs on my bedroom wall. My friends, today we give thanks to God, the gift of a distinguished gentleman. But more importantly, we give thanks that this distinguished gentleman now sits around the throne of God, angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, not because of his great works, but because of the blood of Jesus shed on Calvary's cross. May this be your comfort. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. May God grant this to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We continue now with the prayers of the church. Please stand.
Let us pray to the Lord, our God and Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and so pass with Him through the gate of death and the grave to our joyful resurrection. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant that all who have been nourished by the holy body and blood of your Son may be raised to immortality and incorruption to be seated with Him at your heavenly banquet. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give to the family of Harold and to all who mourn comfort in their grief and a sure confidence in your loving care that, casting all their sorrow on you, they may know the consolation of your love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give courage and faith to the bereaved, that within the communion of your church, they may have strength to meet the days ahead in the assurance of a holy and certain hope and in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love who have departed in the faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Receive our thanks for Harold and for all the blessings you bestowed on him in this earthly life. Bring us at last to our heavenly home, that with him we may see you face to face in the joys of paradise. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to bring light and immortality to light. We give you thanks that by his death he destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Taught by our Lord, trusting his promises, we are bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Lord,
now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of every people. A light to reveal you to the nations, and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, our shepherd, you gather the lambs of your flock into the arms of your mercy and bring them home. Comfort us with the certain hope of the resurrection to everlasting life and a joyful reunion with those we love who have died in the faith. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you peace.
Amen.
Let us go forth in peace.
In the name of the Lord. Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, number 537.
this time, we invite all of you to join us for a time of fellowship in the fellowship hall. Folks here at church have provided a light lunch for our time to be together, to share some stories, to reminisce, and to give thanks to God for all of His blessings, including the blessing of Harold. Let's bow our heads and pray as Lutherans normally pray before they eat. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let thy gifts to us be blessed. Amen. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Amen. Please join us.